I'm Susan Saunders. It's Wednesday. That means we have our friends from Kingston Wealth Management in. And today, that is Rudy and Rudy. That would be John Rudy and Chris Rudy. Welcome back to WJBC.
How you doing, Susan?
I'm still a little sugar high after my Portillo's chocolate cake shake yesterday. Can I be honest about that?
Well,
I've never had one.
A little bit. I'm sure there's a little bit of sugar in there, but I've heard they're good. So.
Well, I didn't eat at all before I went to Portillo's, and you can see this video, by the way, of me learning how to make a chocolate cake shake on our WJBC Facebook page. Now, you're in Champaign commuting back and forth.
Yeah.
Does the Portillo's drama die down after a while?
I don't think it has, actually. I think the crowds, Chris, are still pretty big. I think they're, I have not yet been, but I have a lot of friends who've been there, and I think you've been by there, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been by one time.
I'm not sure it's as crazy as it is the first couple weeks they open. I think it probably just, there's probably a little bit of a build up there, but
build up in this community was about 10 years long, waiting for this particular event to happen, and it started yesterday, and I was there on opening day. We're going to talk about this after 11 o'clock, after we're done with all of our financial news, because there was a quote from Dick Portillo himself that was accurate on WJBC.com. Here is what he said, and the number is nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
But when you quote a guest and a speaker, you quote what they say. And so we'll get into that a little bit more after 11 o'clock. But first I want to find out what's happening in money news. Eventually you can tell me maybe something about the gas prices. But let's start with the market. Up, down, sideways, where are we at?
Well, you know, it's been, Susan, it's just been a very solid move forward. I think, Chris, last week we had a day or two where things kind of settled back a little bit. I think there was a little bit of nervousness in the markets, maybe with what was going on at the time with North Korea. I think there's been, we're going to talk about some of the reports out there right now about people, the sky is falling, folks are back at it again, and the end is near, the highs are high. But, excuse me, I think in total, I think you'd have to really look at this market as still moving strong in an upwards direction.
Yeah, I mean, today's another day we're off to a strong start. Things have kind of moderated a little bit even just this morning. But yeah, the overwhelming trend now that we've seen just for the last, 12, 15 months has just really been that slow, steady churn to the positive side. And, you pointed out we had one day last week where I think we were off like 1% and everybody was like, oh, what's going on? And so that's what kind of prompted our main topic, I think, today is really just kind of take a look back at, let's get some perspective to this, because if we're to the point where we're making any type of news, good, bad, or indifferent on a 1% move, it just shows you how short-term a memory sometimes a lot of people have. We don't remember, and then anything that's even remotely sizable, and a 1% move is not sizable.
Well, and to put that in context, Chris came up with some numbers, and I think we might as well go ahead and kick that off because I think it's part of the market update. But Chris, long-term investors can weather market declines. If you look at the intra-year declines in the S&P 500 over the last 71 years. Talk a little bit about some of the data that you've been able to find. I think it might put it in perspective.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite chart out there right now that I'm sharing with anybody that I can get in front of me, just to try to reinforce that long-term perspective. And what you're referencing there is that in the 71 calendar years we've had since the end of World War II, we've had 50 years where the S&P finished in positive territory. So 50 out of 71. All the while, each year, we have an average intra-year decline, meaning at some point in the year, we had established a high or a high water mark for the year, and we've gone back an average of about 14%. Now, so we break that down a little bit. That equates to, we usually have about a 5% decline in the market, but once every 5 months. Haven't had one since 2016. So again, none of these are predictions of things that anything's imminent, but just to give you a little perspective, 10% drop or more happens just about once a year or so, about 1.3 years. Haven't had one for about two.
And I'm guessing these numbers go up as far as how often we have any type of market correction as we get more towards current history. Because when we look 71 years ago, we weren't in a 24-hour news cycle. You weren't able to make changes in the stock market nearly as quickly as you can now. You waited for your newspaper or your radio to tell you something, and then you had 24 hours before you might even find out a stock price again.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, even not long ago, there's probably, you could have asked a lot of people on the street, well, what'd the market do today? And they wouldn't have been able to tell you. Now we can check it from computers, phones. It's broadcast from every rooftop. So you're right. You're seeing a lot more action. But what's surprising is you're not seeing that volatility that maybe you even saw in the 40s, right. 50s, and 60s, where we had large-scale jumps year to year. You could have been up double digits, down double digits. And we've really seen that start to moderate a little bit in what I would call modern history, you know, 2000s plus, where we have seen those, you know, really volatile years, but they're not quite as common as maybe they had been in the past. So, and I think that could be attributed to a lot of things that you're saying, is that, you know, we're not seeing trends get, you know, high or low one way or the other. But, you know, looking at what a true bear market is, for example, 20% decline in a major market index, usually happens about once every 3 years or so, and we haven't had one since March of 2009. So
we're a little overdue.
We're a little bit overdue, and that's really happened. If you go back looking at since 1946, we've had 12 market events that were truly considered bear market territory. Now, I will point out there was about three in there that were like 19 point something, and I don't know about you, but 19 point anything feels a lot like 20.
So I'm a rounder upper.
For people's mentality, you know, it has happened a little bit more frequently, but we haven't even seen a near 20 since 2011. So again, these are all things to keep in mind while we're seeing the markets continue to make new highs, trend forward, trend positively, because at some point this will happen. At some point we will have a correction or even, God forbid, a bear market territory. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's all part about being a long-term investor. And I think if you can know, kind of steel yourself against it, say, hey, it's part of a normal market movement. It's going to happen. It's not always positive. The overwhelming trend, as we've just pointed out, is positive, but there are some downturns in there, and it just should be nothing that people make a lot of drastic action on, because that's where you can really get yourself into trouble.
And I think, Susan, that's what we're going to spend some time talking with excuse me, today, because one of the fears that we have is you don't have to look very far back to see when a market does make a big move, and that somebody who is not in a position to make a gut play or to make a huge switch in their portfolio because they're nervous or something has happened. I think the guys, at least in our firm, are trying to let clients know that expect the fact that these things do happen, even though they haven't happened for a while. If we can prepare people now ahead of time, knowing that things don't go in one direction, markets don't go up all the time. It just does not happen. It literally does not work that way. So I think it's important to focus in good times when people are sitting on some nice gains in their 401k to understand that don't fall in love with the fact that it's just this one directional deal. And I think you try to spend a lot of time with your clients, Chris, about that too, don't you?
Yeah, and certainly it's not, you know, because the logical question from there a lot of times you get is, well, if it's so high right now, why don't we get out and wait for it to go back down? Well, as we just pointed out in our examples, if you're trying to play the averages, sometimes that doesn't, many times, they're averages for a reason. It could be a long time before something like that happens, could be a short time. But trying to anticipate that usually always means you do more damage to yourself than actually just going through it and waiting to come out positively on the other side.
Just out of curiosity, since you're my favorite historian over at Kingston Wealth Management, and again, we're talking with John Rudy and Chris Rudy here today about all things money markets and trying to bring it into realistic conversation for those of us who are just getting involved or those of us who desperately need your help. It was about this time last year we were getting excited about seeing 17 and 18,000 right on the Dow. Now we're at 22. So is it possible that this will go down in history as the largest increase in the market that we've ever seen in a 12-month period? Or some, you know, I like the weather statistics, mm-hmm, when, you know, we've set an all-time record high, but just for the amount of increase we've had in the last year seems extraordinary.
Yeah, and think about that, and it's something that we always hearken back to is, you know, instead of watching how many points are we moving on a numerical basis, what does that equate to in a percentage basis? Mm-hmm. So to say it's the largest ever, I would probably say probably not on a percentage basis, But when you look back from 2009 on,
right,
we're in what we call a secular bull market period, where we've just seen kind of just that year after year. I think we maybe had 1 year in there that was flat or just a little bit down. But the overwhelming trend since coming off the lows of 2009 and the financial mm-hmm. crisis have really been a strong period economically, investing-wise, one that, you know, we've seen very few times in the last 100-plus years. So it's certainly been memorable, that's for sure.
That's true. You know? Now, John Rudy, you were talking earlier about how we look at what is happening globally as a way that could be predicting or affecting the markets. We look at different things. Right now, North Korea,
yeah,
you know, is a question mark. I'm looking at a headline right now that Amazon shares just fell after President Trump said something negative about Amazon, and all of a sudden their stocks are falling. Are we living in a new world where the news headlines are affecting stocks more than the actual success or failures of the company?
You know, maybe momentarily, but it's a snapshot in time. When you look at take Amazon, for example, just take a look at what they've done in terms of how much high is high. So if they were to pull back, pick a number, I don't care what you pick, even a drastic number, the
it's
company is it's a huge, extraordinary company. So to get excited about a news announcement and a temporary pullback, Chris, you don't pay much attention to that, do you?
I don't, and it's really, I think, Susan, just great timing you brought that up. I brought a little piece in here that I was just going to show you off air, but they did a market study from 2006 to 2016, the market values of a lot of different retailers, and predominantly your Sears, your JCPenney's, your Macy's, Best Buy's have gone down and pretty significantly. In 2006, Amazon's market value was about $17.5 billion, with a B. In 2016, so this is, you know, almost a year and a half old, $355 billion. So up about 1,900%. So
in a decade,
they're going to have a lot of negative news stories
but
about them.
But I mean, the reactionary things that happen
right.
in the market based on whatever today's headline is,
because yes.
there's always a negative headline coming from somewhere.
To answer your question, yes, people do act on news reports, this 24/7 news cycles, but in the big scheme of things, that's so temporary that it just doesn't even it doesn't merit folks' time really to spend too much time talking about that.
Yeah, and I even think that even that's starting to play less and less of a role. I mean, I can think back to 5 years ago if we would have seen about, you know, North Korea like we saw this week.
Yep.
I mean, no surprise to see 3, 4, 5, 6% down.
No question.
Mm-hmm. Gas prices spike up.
Yep.
Things get in people's minds, but I just feel like every week, as you pointed out, there's always something, and I think people are just getting, at least fatigue is a little bit in there, but they're not making those drastic decisions. Or at least some of the people I'm coming across have kind of learned from that a little bit.
See, after I win the lottery tonight and I try and figure out my investments, because it's $430
it's a
million
big one.
Dollars, I'm going to lose a bunch in taxes, so I want to put, you know, money into investments to be able to recoup that. I keep thinking, boy, if I could invest in anything, I would look towards. I would look towards stocks that were not as commonly spoken of. I would look towards stocks that are not as familiar to uneducated investors.
If you win that kind of money, it really won't matter.
Yeah.
Because you can make a lot of mistakes.
But the good news is I know to call Kingston Wealth Management before I go and turn in my ticket, because there are things you need to do. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more Money News with Chris and John Rudy here on WJBC. 1027, we say hello to Kevin Kingston. I'm sure listening somewhere today, and you can always find him working hard along with so many folks at Kingston Wealth Management. I like when we get to do a round robin of faces. We've got John Rudy, who is directing traffic with his son Chris Rudy, and we also know Mike Flaherty is in the office, and you haven't got any other employees that I've missed along the way?
Well, of course, Vicky's been there for a long, long time, and Jenna, and we've got a good crew.
You got insurance with Mr.
Steve Leisman, yeah.
Got insurance with him. All kinds of folks ready to help you with your monetary ups and downs in a variety of ways. Learn more at KingstonWealthManagement.net. Today we have part two of our conversation. Will be long-term investors and weathering market declines. Also, financial priorities families should address. Can I ask about oil? Can somebody explain to me why the oil?
Well, here's first of all, be happy that you know, I've been reporting for the last several weeks that the prices in Champaign are so much cheaper than they are in Bloomington.
Yes.
That's reversed itself.
You have over $2.30
We're like in the $2.39 range, and I bought gas here yesterday for $2.11 at one of the stations. So it's just crazy how those things kind of fluctuate.
I think we're back up to $2.30 again.
Oh, is that right? The big story is, Chris, I think oil still on per barrel price has still remained relatively moderate, not a lot of movement. I haven't looked at the last few days. Where's that floating around?
It's under 50. About 46, 47.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I was misquoting. There are stations in town that are 209 and 212.
Yeah. The bottom line is the crazy fluctuations between the communities that are 55 miles apart is nuts, and it's just different suppliers who you're using at the time, how much of the supply that they have in the ground versus with the new stuff that they're bringing in. But the fact is, we are very, very fortunate right now, and we continue to be fortunate because that's one of the things I think continues to keep this economy moving along, because people really feel good about putting less money into the tank and more money into their groceries, family, things that they want to pick out.
Now, what about interest rates? Do I need to do some more refinancing?
No, you know, I think interest rates are really... We talked a little bit about last week. There's been some move in the short term. I don't know how much more, Chris, this year. What are they expecting? Maybe one more, possibly, but more than likely next year, first year short term.
Yeah, the plan was 4 for the year. We've had 2. I wouldn't be surprised. Definitely, actually, coming up either this week or next week, I think we have another set of Fed meeting minutes that are going to come out to give us an idea of what they're going to do with rates. But you know, right now I think the other prevailing factor is when you see things going on, you have world events like North Korea, where you see some instability in other places in the world, usually means a flood of foreign dollars buying up our treasury bonds, which in a sense lowers the interest rate on those. We're not having to pay as much interest because people want to own our debt.
And
as crazy as a lot of things that are going on within our own country, the rest of the world still views us as a very stable place to keep their money, and as a result, that you know helps keep rates low.
And I'm hearing commercials for that positive, you know, 1.5% CD rate.
Oh yeah,
from banks in the local area. A commercial you wouldn't think would have been as joyful, but it's happening.
It's been tough for CD investors, and that's not going to change anytime quick. There's usually a pretty good lag between what the Fed does and what the banks pay.
Well, we'll come back and we'll talk more money news with John Rudy and Chris Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management after we look at local headlines, 10:30. Here is Greg Hallbleib. Greg Hallbleib, 10:38. I'm Susan Saunders. I have John Rudy and Chris Rudy in the studio with me because it's Wednesday, and on Wednesdays we talk money. Thursdays it rains. Wednesdays we talk money. And, oh, thank you, John Rudy, for wearing pink. I'm glad you saw that movie, because on Wednesdays we do wear pink.
I wear pink.
Yes, but no, on Wednesdays we wear pink.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, Chris, you'll have to show him that movie later. That's a whole other conversation. We were talking about long-term investors weathering market declines before we went off to news. Is there anything more we need to add to that topic before we move on?
We've got, in the time that we've got left over, we've got some material, I think, that now that we've talked about, you know, why these things happen or how often they do happen, you know, there are some keys to getting through this process, Susan, and I wanted Chris to talk about some of them. You kind of hit on the first one a little bit, Chris, and, you know, we talked about declines having been common and temporary occurrences, but so what are the solutions, I guess, to that?
Well, I mean, my first solution is find somebody that can help you, you know, traverse this market and your whole investing career through your working years and into and through your retirement, because emotion is a huge aspect of all this. And even though we can sit here and tell you ad nauseum that, hey, declines are common, the permanent uptrend is there, it's documented, that it still doesn't stop somebody from sitting in front of their computer on a day that things have gone down quite a bit, or after a long period of time when things have come back quite a bit, and putting in a sell order in their 401k and moving things to cash and sitting there for who knows how long, mm-hmm. and more than likely missing out on the next several points run to the positive. So having somebody that you can have a frank discussion with, somebody that, you know, will give you the hard advice, maybe not always what your gut wants to do, but try to show you what's best for you in the long run and illustrate why, is really key in this, because it's very hard to do on your own.
Sometimes I just need a lesson in diversification, because I forget that there is something other than commodities.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're concerned that the commodities market is about ready to do something drastic in the wrong direction, I'm not going to take money out of my 401k because of the tax implications. You know, that's a big negative. But you might need to diversify into something else.
Well, and then
for a period of time.
I mean, that is with everything, and that's one of the tools to weather a lot of these declines that that we've seen over the course of investing history, is to be diversified. I mean, that's a great point, Susan. And it's not just, hey, commodities, and it's not just stocks and bonds, but it's multiple types of stocks and bonds, and it's working with somebody to try to help understand what's the appropriate mix of all those for me that, hey, if I'm retired and I'm taking a supplementary income from my IRA or 401k, that, hey, what's a responsible mix that I can still get that growth, but I don't have to worry about taking out too much too quickly if things are getting pretty volatile. So
now, just to remind me, if I'm a client and I am unaware of what's going on in the stock market or what's going on in the economy, and yet Kingston Wealth Management is watching my money for me, will you ever give me a call and say, hey, we now realize there's something we need to do for diversification? Do you ever make that outgoing call saying, I think we need to have a conversation because there's some things happening in the markets and we need to be proactive?
Obviously, we have outgoing communication and clients are always welcome to call. It would probably never be anything market necessitated, because then we get into that game of, well, where's the best place to park your money now?
Right.
And that's where the diversification piece really comes in. We kind of have a really good idea of the proper way to keep things diversified. And that doesn't mean, I think we've talked about on the show before, rebalancing
right.
is something that, you know, something that we're doing, you know, all the time in the background of
making
sure.
But just so I feel better, I know you're looking at my accounts and you're thinking about rebalancing
right.
when I'm not.
Right.
And if it needs to be done, you'll let me know.
And it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be something because of X, because of North Korea,
okay.
because of, you know, we've seen the shift in tax policy that, you know, we're going to change your account. It would be because of, hey, Susan, you got a new job. Susan, you have a new member of your family that you're trying to help. Your situation has change because of you, because of something that's happened in your life that may necessitate, well, now we're going to be taking some more money out, so maybe we don't want to be quite as volatile, or we want to, you know, raise a little bit more cash to cover those short-term expenses. It would always be client-centric. It would
okay.
be you based, not outside factor based.
Because that's where I go and say, I need somebody else because I don't get it.
Well, and I think, and before we go to commercial, I just, the second quick thing is keeping perspective, Susan. That we talk about that all the time in your personal life, private life. It can keep you calm. And I think, Chris, keeping things in perspective is something that you try to also relate to clients as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure people, you know, they don't want to hear about, hey, we got to look back and take a look bigger look at this, have a longer term history, have a longer memory. But, you know, you can look at, you know, going back from 1937 to 2016 and the average 10-year rolling. And that means, hey, from we drop off 1 year, we pick up the next year, we look at the average all the way through, you know, it is around somewhere the long-term average of about 10.5%. Now, that's not to say that there's not a 10-year period in there where
right.
you wouldn't have seen some decline. But again, just reminding people, the overwhelming trend of any, you know, 10-year period or longer is, you know, has been and continues to be positive.
All right. Let's take a short break and we'll come back with financial priorities young families should address. Always good to follow along here with Kingston Wealth Management, WJBC.
And WJBC.com.
Attention gold investors, you can keep your gold IRA at home. Just call Capital Gold Group for details. Learn how to get a free safe. 1-800-542-9112, 800-542-9112. 1049, couple of minutes left with John Rudy, Chris Rudy of Kingston Wealth Management. We didn't have Kevin Kingston with us today, but I think we're getting it done, gentlemen. I appreciate your company, looking at what's happening in the markets and long-term money planning. We all need to do it. So tell me about the financial priorities for the young families listening today.
There's a few things we wanted to just cover while the time permits. And it's really geared for folks, parents under 40. You've got these financial priorities that young families need to address. And Chris, let's just go down and take as many as we can. Life and disability coverage. Talk about why that's so important for a young family particularly.
Yeah, huge. Probably as important or maybe even a little bit more so for folks in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. If you've got young family, young children, maybe you just bought a house, you have more mortgage debt than you ever conceived. Not wanting an accident, a loss of a job, an injury to you know, put a huge burden on another spouse to raise children, to pay off, you know, to pay that mortgage year in and year out. So having that, you know, having a life insurance policy, disability, to cover the loss of one income or one spouse is really huge.
Yeah, and one thing, too, is generally speaking, when you buy life insurance at an early age, Chris, you're never going to find cheaper premiums typically. I mean, so I think it's a time that you can, with some of these longer-term options that are out there, you can negotiate and look at some pretty good deals. Not necessarily negotiate, but there's some pretty good pricing out there for young, particularly healthy individuals at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the younger you are, the more insurable you are in the eyes of the insurance companies. You're a safer bet for them, especially, like as you mentioned, if you're a non-smoker and relatively healthy.
We talk about estate planning oftentimes for folks that are older, but why is estate planning, what parts of estate planning are important for younger families?
Yeah, estate planning, with that we just mean wills.
Right.
You know, especially if you have young children, identifying somebody who you want to be as a guardian for those younger members of your family is really the big part about estate planning for younger families. Where do you want those children to ultimately end up if something were to happen?
We talk about trying to predict, and we're never in the prediction game, and who knows what university costs are going to be like in the year 2035. But college planning, Chris, is one of the things that young families have to take into account right now.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, college is going up faster than inflation at a rate of about 5 to 6% a year, especially for private colleges. So starting things like 529 plans when your children are early, even if it's just $50 a month, if you can, $100 a quarter. I mean, anything goes a long way, because the chances are is that you're never going to be able to save up the total amount for college. But
no.
But being able to, if that's something that you want to do, being able to build up that early, you get that time value of money piece.
Susan, we've talked about for many, many years the need for emergency funds for folks who are approaching retirement. But there is that emergency fund necessity for young families, Chris. And I think when you talk about that cash cushion, you've obviously just got married and hopefully have a family someday. Those are things you have to take into consideration, don't you? Making sure that there's some money put aside that you need to grab, you need to do quickly.
Well, I mean, you can just name it, and the things that have already happened to me: air conditioning, roof,
dog,
pipe burst, you know, all those things that you can't plan for, but you have to be prepared for. And if you have enough cash as an emergency reserve that you don't have to do something like take a hardship withdrawal from your retirement plan,
right,
at work, where you're, you know, getting a 10% penalty on top of making that taxable income.
Borrowing money.
Yeah, or, you know, putting it on high interest credit cards. If you have those cash options that you've set aside for things that you can't plan for, or you can plan for but you can't know when they're going to happen, is really big.
I would also add in there, I'm seeing more and more people absolutely overwhelmed with funeral expenses that were unexpected.
Oh, they're expensive.
For young kids, for family members. I mean, accidents happen, road collisions, you name it, accidents happen. And so many people are now looking to crowdsourcing to help with funeral expenses because no one seems to have that emergency fund, and that's what that could be for.
Yeah, and I think those are things that, you know, we often overlook because I think, well, I'm young, it's not going to happen, or I've got a young family. But I think it's a good point, Susan. Those are all the things that we talk about. And by the way, you've got good collection of younger listeners. You've got older listeners. We get it across the board. We had a young couple that listens to our show that came in a couple weeks ago.
Good,
great,
good.
Great young couple. So, and asking some of the questions that we're talking about today, if folks do want to come in, if they want to talk to Chris, Mike, Kevin, they can always reach us at 663-9477, or as you're so kind to talk about, our website, kingstonwealthmanagement.net. A lot of good information.
Even if you're not ready to walk in the door, those online money modules that you have to try and give you some insight are extremely well done.
And what's interesting is we've been doing the show now for 10 years with you, all going on 11 years, and it's so many of the folks that will come in oftentimes have been, it's not because they started listening today, they've been listening 4, 5, 6 long time. And but
took us a long time to get them in the
well
door.
It takes sometimes it needs to be a reason, there needs to be retirement coming, there's an issue going on, they've got a family deal. But thanks to you and your listeners,
that first meeting is always free.
Yes.
So no reason to put that off, even if you find out you're not ready to be a client. All right, we'll talk to you again next
week, Susan,
here on WJBC. Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Financial Group, Incorporated is a separate entity of Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc., and past performance does not guarantee future results.